I got a couple of things. Now I'm declaring something today. Last time we made a declaration, it came to pass. I'm going to make another declaration today about our Friends Day. First of all, I want you all to pray. And with your prayer, have faith. And with your faith, do some work. Because I'm counting on next Sunday when we open up those three rooms that will seat over 300, Howard is going to come in sweating and scratching his head, talking about what are we going to do? Because we don't have enough chairs to seat all these people. I'm declaring today that whomever you ask, they're going to come. And you'll be moved to pick some people up. If all of us in here would bring one, if we just bring one of those that we invite, we'd be well on our way. But what would happen if everybody in here invited 10 and 3 showed up? Look, we are about fishing. We are going to throw the lines out because that's what we do. We're not only going to fish in here, but we're going to fish at Lakewood. And I'm declaring that in Lakewood, after we have our water distribution, that's going to be something we're going to do often, getting the community ready for us. And then I'm praying and believing that we're going to get enough response in that area that we're going to be able to get a bus that will pick up our new members at Lakewood and bring them to this location until we get our house built. I'm also going to declare that we're going to start soon here to have at least 2 services. We're going to have an English service, and I'm praying for God to send me a young, energetic person that says, I will work in this ministry as a Creole-speaking pastor so that we'll have a Creole service. If God continues to bless, and I know he will, we're going to believe God for an Hispanic service. And all of that's going to happen right here as God fills this place up, as we glean from the people around here. And as we build at Lakewood, we're not leaving the convention center. We'll have a location at the convention center. And we'll have a location on Lakewood Road. And I'm seeing a location out west. God is about to move as long as we believe and work. It's time for us to not be sedimentary. It's time for us to get up and start doing things for a kingdom. In Bible, in Sunday school this morning, we talked about some things. And a note came through me, through the Spirit, and we talked about people, and somebody said, you can't help people if everybody's poor. Y'all better listen. I believe God is going to position us and bring in resources so that we can do things in the community to help people that want to be uplifted. But I need people to believe with me. I need people to have confidence in this ministry and start walking in those things that we project and we prophesy over, because if we do that, it will come to pass. In Revelation, he told them about the Tower of Babel, said they came together with the same language and the same words, and he said that nothing is impossible for them. I want God to say the same about the light. They came together with the same language and the same words, and now nothing will be impossible for them. We have to be about God's business. Have to be. Time is running out. We don't want it said when we go up. He said, you know what? You could have accomplished much more for me, but you didn't believe enough. And you didn't work hard. And you refused to sacrifice. Let me tell you, to get to where we're going, we're going to have to make some sacrifices. You're going to have to come out on a Sunday night and not complain about it. have to have some meetings sometimes when the football game is on to give God glory and to do what he's called us to do. We shall reach, Elder, what God says we will reach. And so my cry out to you is not whether it's going to happen, it's just will you be there. It's not whether, Jay, it's going to happen, it's who's going to be on the train when it leaves. Because we're going there. You need to start getting excited about what you can do for God and not always about what God can do for you. Because when you do for God, what to do for you is automatic. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's not the sermon, but that's the message. Got one more thing. We had a young lady just join our church recently, and God is so good. That testimony, I'm glad we waited for a week so we could get all this in today. Praise God. Shay just joined us about 3-4 weeks ago. And we were at dance rehearsal. I wasn't dancing, I was just watching. And I saw the energy and excitement, and she is on fire. Believe me, she is on fire about what God is doing in her life right now. And she don't even know all God is doing in her life right now. But when she got home, somebody had broken into her place. Was this the second time? Broken into her apartment the second time. She called us, basically said, I'm about to give up and go back to New Jersey. Said, this is just not working. My wife got on the phone and started making some calls. We began to pray. She was supposed to call us Saturday morning, but obviously God had already started doing stuff. And she met us this morning with a smile on her face. Baby, you got a place to stay? Why don't you tell us quickly what God did for you? Just stand up, speak loudly, just quickly tell us what God did for you. So we always want to let people see is God is not just doing for certain people. And you can't be on a praise team if you're scared of the microphone.
I was blessed to move into another location, into another home.
Amen. Friday, Saturday, she was in a move, completely moved, installed, set up. Amen. Now you say, well, that ain't a big deal. Oh, it's a big deal if somebody broke in your house and you can't sleep but with one eye open, and then God moves in and moves you out of that environment and puts you in a new place where you can lay down and rest. Oh, yeah, that's a big deal. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. He is so good. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you, too, to get out to Sunday school. I had a good time this morning. Seems like every time I come in there, Pastor Nate sets me up. I don't understand it. Every time I walk in, he says, oh, there the pastor is. He's dodging the bullet. They're throwing all these questions out, and he's dealing with it. When I come in, he throws them at me. I'm going to just peep in and leave from now. Just kidding. They're having a great, great discussion on some on issues in the Word and biblical-based answer. You need to be here. I keep telling you, Word needs to be distributed. That's why we have Sunday school, and they were dealing with some things. And next week, they're going to be dealing with a call to show mercy. A call to show mercy. You understand what mercy is, what our part is in it, what God's part is in it. Be here 8:45 Sunday morning so you can get involved in the great Sunday school teaching that goes on. And also in our P12, well, it's not P12 anymore, it's our Bible study on Wednesday night over at the location at Habitat. We're in Numbers, in the latter part of Numbers, 30, I believe. 30, 31, and 32. So we'll be talking about keeping vows to God and also the vengeance of God on Midian. So those are two Old Testament themes that you'll be studying, and you'll be bringing those things up, and you'll get the New Testament application. Not only the New Testament application, your life application. And that's what Bible study is about. How do I take this that's written in this Word, bring it up to date for this situation, and then how do I apply it to me? So that's Wednesday nights over at the Habitat off 4047 Okeechobee, right next to the Infinity dealership on the same side of the street. Amen. Jay said he's going to buy me a car. Are you interested in that? Oh, I was just hearing in the spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the time you've allowed me to be here this morning. Holy Spirit, open us up. Allow us to hear your word. Not only hear us, Lord, but touch our hearts so we will start doing more of what your word says. And let us take this in and let us forget all the things of the world as this word goes out. Move on me. Totally get me out of the way. Holy Spirit, do your work through me so that your will be done in this congregation. Because it's all about you, God. It's never been about me. It never will be about me. It's always going to be about you. And I thank you in advance for those that will be set free today. I thank you in advance for even as the word has gone out and singing has gone out, some person is being healed in the audience over the sickness they've been struggling over. Somebody's been out and in to the same thing. Sick, out and in. I don't know why he's leading like this morning, but I'm going to flow with it. Out and in. You've been up and down. It seems like as soon as you think that you're out of this sickness, it comes back on you. Who am I talking about? It seems like as soon as you think this thing's over, then it comes right back on you. Hallelujah. Like I said, just be obedient to his word. You don't even need to come up to get prayed on. If he wants you to just start being obedient to his word, he said he's going to move that thing completely out of your life. He said, but right now you got to know you've been in and out of this sickness because you haven't been obedient. Matter of fact, he said, you're here today just because you're sick. And you decided to come to church. I don't know who I'm talking to. It don't matter. You know. You came today because you were sick and felt that maybe something would have happened because you came to church. But he's here to tell you it's not because you're in church. That's your obligation. He said, once you're in me, then I'll move this thing off of you. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we're going to move on today and continue to teach in our teaching on Not a Fan. Last week, we got just a taste. We finally came to understand what Not a Fan meant. Not a Fan meant I'm not just going to be in the audience. I'm not just going to be in the stands. Either I'm going to be a participant in the kingdom of God or I'm not. A fan is somebody who gets enthusiastic about what they see somebody else do. You know, I get all bent out of shape when basketball season, because I love to watch basketball. I'm a fan of the Miami Heat. I'm a fan. I can't get paid. They don't pay me. I will never be able to do what Dwayne Wade does, but I enjoy watching them. And I got my, when I first bought my shirt, Will, my wife asked me, who is James? I said, what do you mean? You got James's shirt. What are you talking about? You got this black shirt on here and on the back says James on it. I said, no, that's LeBron James. That's stupid wearing somebody else's name on your shirt. Well, guess what? It may be kind of stupid. But I'm a fan. But I have not received not one ticket stub from LeBron. I'm just a fan. And Jesus is saying, guess what? I don't need fans. Hallelujah. I need followers. Yeah. And our scripture keeps telling us over and over, take up your cross. Follow me. And so in this installment of what we're teaching today, we're going to go a step further. And we're going to talk about the open invitation. Have you ever seen these car ads? And it says, come on in, anybody, everybody will drive out. You know, just come on in, you can drive in, and you think that everybody's invited, Jay. So, you know, people get up there, and they run up to the car dealership, and they go in, and they say, everybody will drive out today. Well, I ain't got no credit. You'll still drive out today. Whatever you drove in, you'll drive out in. Because there's always a catch. How many people got a cell phone? How many of you know there are about umpteen hundred different cell plans? And they'll put one on the screen. Everybody else can have a phone. Just come on out and we'll let you have a phone today. And so you know you don't have any credit and ain't got no job. And you go out and you say, I want a phone. And they say, good. The phone booth is over in the corner. But if you don't have any credit, you will not take one of these phones out. Everything's not the way it seems. So sometimes when people say everybody's included, it doesn't mean everybody's included. It means a specific group is the everybody. Yes. Well, in Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. So in making the invitation to potential followers, Jesus invites anyone. Anyone is welcome. But guess what? But over the years, we've gotten to the point that even when we hear Jesus say anyone, we think, oh yeah, there's a catch. There's a catch. But I'm here to tell you today that when Jesus said anyone is welcome, he means anyone is welcome. There's no catch. There's no small fine print. There's no hidden fees. When he laid it all out in one scripture, when Jesus said anyone, he means anyone. Now, when he said that, he said it around a crowd, and the crowd understood what Jesus meant when he said it. They looked around and saw his disciples. And they understood that when he said anyone, it was different from the average rabbi. And we're going to talk about that in a minute.
When Jesus said to Matthew, follow me, he was making it clear that his invitation to follow is not just for the religious elite or for the morally upright, for those who have their lives together. His invitation is for all of us who are hiding some stains. Jesus said, anyone who would come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Anyone. Anyone is a pretty inclusive word. Anyone can follow Jesus. Anyone who's ever thought to themselves, I've gone too far, my stain is too big. Anyone who's ever laid awake at night and said, I can't believe what I've done. Anyone who's ever looked in the mirror and said to themselves, I can't believe what I've become. Anyone can follow.
Anyone. When Jesus began to teach, he was known as a rabbi. And in the circles of that time, a rabbi was some person who knew the first five books of the Bible. In and out, he knew it. He was respected and followed because of his thorough knowledge and way of teaching. And there were many rabbis in that day, and they got their reputation based upon how well they could explain the scripture to their Talmud. Talmud is another term for disciples or students. So every rabbi had students. And you could determine the quality of the teacher by the quality of the students. And a rabbi would take a potential Talmud and make him recite an entire book of the Bible flawlessly. before he would allow him to be part of his school if he was trying to have a reputation. I remember in college, there were some teachers that had a reputation. You could go to so-and-so's class, Brother Gaines, and just show up, you're all right. But if you go into Mr. So-and-so's class, you better be on time, you better start taking notes, you better make sure that everything is done because he don't play. So the rabbi got their reputations based upon their ability to teach and the quality of the Talmud, or the students. And so now here comes Jesus. Jesus was one that had confounded the priests and the rabbis in the temples when he was 12. So his reputation preceded him. Even though he didn't have a lot of fancy stuff, people would seek him out. The Pharisees and scribes tried aimlessly to trick him, but he was so knowledgeable about the word because he was. But there was something strange about him, Pastor Marshall. He didn't follow the cut of a regular rabbi. Because he didn't look, you looked at his Talmud, his disciples. He didn't have the top minds of Jewish society. He didn't have all the brightest or the richest students. The problem was you had this extremely bright rabbi, and he says in communities, come just as you are. To get into some of these classes with these folks, you had to take a test or have some prerequisites. And to get in one of the best, with one of the best rabbis, you had to have the equivalent of 1,600 on a SAT, 4.0 grade point average, the equivalent of that. And so guess what? And if you couldn't get into the rabbi school, then you were going to have to take on some other task. If your daddy was a brick mason, probably then you stayed home and learned how to brick mason. If you was a shepherd, you were shepherding. If you were a carpenter, you learned other carpentry work. But if you didn't make the cut, you would not be following around this rabbi learning the things of the Bible. Some of the rabbis required their Talmud to tell, in other words, how many times does the word Lord appear in Leviticus chapter 11? And they're supposed to be able to tell you. It was not easy. There were no storefront preachers back then. I missed that. Hallelujah. Because the excellence of the students reflected the excellence of the teacher. Couldn't just be in any group. But here comes Jesus. He says, anyone he said, if any person will come after me, follow me, be my Talmud, be my disciple, be my follower, let him deny himself, own his own self, forget, lose sight of himself and his own interest, refuse and give up himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me, cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also. Anyone. So it's an open invitation. And the first part of that says this. Anyone is welcome. Wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. You're a brilliant teacher. You should have the elite. Of the elite, the best of the best, creme of the creme. No, anyone. Well, what are you saying, Jesus? He's saying, I don't care what your birthright is. Come on. Anyone. I don't care where you were born. Anyone. I don't care what your race is. Anyone. I don't care what your educational background is. Anyone. I don't care what your politics is. Anyone. I don't care where you work. Anyone. Anyone. Wow. Now, what happens when you hear Jesus say anyone? It does a couple of things. It lets those that would judge understand that judgment does no longer apply.
Come on. Amen.
I don't like the way you wear your clothes. It don't matter.
Anyone.
Jesus said, anyone. I don't like the fact that maybe you take a drink every now and then. Ooh, I'm going to mess with some folk today. But Jesus said, anyone. Anyone. I just want this to soak in because we ain't got long. I just want you to get the concept of anyone. Think of the person that you like the least. And don't play super saint on me this morning. You got some people in your head that you don't necessarily want to be around because of some things or some ways or some talk or some problems you have with. Think about them. And know that Jesus said, if you want to follow me, I'll take you. Anyone is welcome. Well, anyone means everyone. Anyone means everyone. So the person that you would choose to gossip about at work, included. The person that you don't necessarily like their lifestyle, included. Who is going to get quiet up here? Included. See, church people can have this thing where we first look at it and we say, yes, we'll accept that because Jesus accepted that. And then we get into a routine. And our routine becomes so comfortable that it turns into a ritual. But the ritual is not based upon the Bible. It's based upon our collective habit. So we want to exclude people because they don't like the same kind of music we like. We want to exclude them because they may not dress the way we want them to dress. We want to exclude them, not because we don't like them, it's just that that's not the way you do church, Pastor. That's not the way church is supposed to go, Pastor. I remember back home, we used to ABC, Pastor, and that's the way church is supposed to go. Well, you ain't back home. You're in the light, and we say, as Jesus said, anyone. Now, that puts pressure on the new saint and the old saint. Because if we've gotten comfortable with status quo, guess what? People that are going to be saved coming in are going to look like any and everybody and everything. They're not going to look like you, talk like you, smell like you, act like you, and you have to accept them if you're going to follow Jesus. Oh, the pressure's on. How dare she walk in here with that kind of skirt on? Anyone? What kind of hairstyle is that? Anyone? I don't believe you need to wear old jeans with holes in the knees. Anyone? I remember him. He got sent to jail. Anyone? I saw her on Sapodilla. Oh, yeah. Getting in that car and getting out 30 minutes later. Anyone. Now, here's what you got to get, church. Stay with me because this is hard hitting. Listen, listen. When they come to Jesus, they're not going to change that day. They're not going to change that day. Chances are, if they were shacking when they met Christ on Sunday, they're going to be shacking on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And Christ says, when I meet you, I accept you just the way you are. If you didn't like their lifestyle when they joined church on Sunday, guess what? Their preference is not going to change the next day. Anyone. Anyone means everyone. Everyone means no qualifications. But you got to know John 3:16. You ain't got to know John 3, or you don't have to know 16 either. All you got to do is say that I am lost and I'm looking for a savior. My life needs to be changed and I'm looking for a way out. This is not what I want. Can you show me how to live a better way? And you introduce them to Jesus Christ and let him start working in their lives at his rate of speed, because he knows what he's doing better than you know what he's doing. Everyone means no qualifications. Now, don't get all upset with the pastor. I have not gone crazy. When Jesus meets you, he accepts everyone. And everyone means that there are no qualifications. But don't get upset, because number four is coming. No qualification means no excuses. Well, you know, I would go to church, but I need to spend more time with the family now. No excuses. You know, it's hard for me to get up on a Sunday because I work two jobs. And that's the only reason I hadn't joined church, Brother Dallas. Just said, I just don't have time. You know, I'll watch somebody on TV. No excuses. When Jesus said anyone, he meant that he accepted the brightest of the bright and those that were not so bright. He meant that he accepted those that qualified under the system and those that were outside the system. It meant that he accepted those that understood the Torah, and he accepted those that didn't even know what the Torah was. Because when you are in Christ, you become a new creature. And from the time you say, I accept him, fans may continue to look at you funny. Fans may not accept the way you are. But believers say, welcome to the game. I'm here to be an example of what it takes to win. Because I follow after Jesus. As Paul said, follow after me. as I follow Christ. And so what we need to be saying to the anyones is not that you got to learn all this stuff and you have to be here 6 months before you can say a Bible verse or sing a song or stand up and ask a question in Bible study. What we need to say is, welcome to the game. No qualifications necessary. Follow me as I follow Christ. No excuses. But I've been to the joint. No excuse. But I'm still on crack. No excuse. But I've been married 4 times. No excuse. I'm still cheating. No excuse. I'm an alcoholic. No excuse. I love to gossip. No excuse. None. I'm not going to leave you hanging. But I had to get us here. Anyone. And anyone. It's anyone, come on now. It's anyone, but it's everything. Let me explain that. God says he accepts anyone. But he says, once I've accepted you, you have to give up everything. I won't keep you out. I won't say you can't come in because of what your habits are now. I won't say you can't come in because of what your lifestyle is now. I won't say you can't come in because of your past or your present. I won't say you can't come in because of what you're doing or not doing right now. But understand, when I accept you in, you have to give up everything. Take up your cross daily and follow me. No excuses. But my father, I have to bury. Let the dead bury the dead. Come on and follow me. But I just purchased some new property and I got it right now. Right now, take up your cross. And every day from now on, and follow me. Doesn't matter. A fan will have excuses. A follower wakes up every morning. Lord, I need new mercies. I need new mercies every day because I know following you, I'm going to need them because the old me is still present, and I'm praying that he keeps moving out of my life as I follow you. I'm praying that I don't fall every morning. I failed yesterday, but you said I'm still eligible. There were no qualifications as long as I would just try to follow you every day. If I get up today and this morning, I got a brand new day to start over. I don't have to go back to yesterday and wallow in what I did, but I do have to look forward to today and say, Lord, today I'm going to take more steps today than I took yesterday. Yesterday I took 2 steps before I failed. Today, God, give me the strength to take at least 1 more step, day by day, step by step, mercy by mercy. God will take you from where you used to be to where he wants to take you, from where who you used to be to who he wants you to be in him. All you got to do is say, I receive you unconditionally and I'll follow you all the way. Now text that to whoever you text it. That he accept you just the way you are. Let's stand.